Live from Owings Mills, another Purple Report by WNST correspondent Luke Jones.
John Harbaugh met with the media with a final look back at the Week 2 loss to the Raiders.
Okay, appreciate everybody being here. Obviously, a lot of work's gone in, you know, since after the game until right now. All of us coaches going through every part of the game with a fine-tooth comb. Every single play, every single player, every single situation, every circumstance to make sure we understand where we're at and then now make a plan for where we're going. And we'll continue to do that. Players the same way, taking care of themselves physically, getting back from the rigors of the game and getting in position to get ready to play the next game and practice and prepare for the next game that we have down in Dallas, which will be a big challenge. So you go to work, you move forward, and you try to continue to improve. I know that I've heard it said the NFL season is a race to improve, to become the best team that you can over the course of the long haul. And it's the race is a marathon, and we've got to continue to try to improve as much as we can every single day. And I think sometimes, you know, your improvement shows up, and sometimes it doesn't. And we had a disappointing game yesterday. We're not happy about it. We want to play better. We want to play winning football. We didn't. Didn't do the things we need to do to win. So we've got to keep pounding the rock, and the rock is going to crack, you know. But that's our job, to keep pounding, not get discouraged, not think all is for nothing, and continue to work, and our reward will be out there in our future if we continue to do that. So what questions do you have?
John, I know you were asked this yesterday, but being a day removed for everything, kind of tape, things like that, do you anticipate making any kind of moves as far as personnel, starters, anything along those lines?
You know, we'll look at every possibility as the week goes on. I think we're always going to be searching for ways to make our team better. There's a lot of areas here or there. It's not just in, like, starting and who's not starting. It's in who's playing in what groups, how many reps guys play, what plays they play in. Same thing on defense, defensive personnel groups. So, yeah, we're going to look at everything all the time. I mean, you're always going to do what you can do with the players that you have, the schemes that you have to try to get better. So a lot of times it's changing schemes. You know, a lot of times it's changing drills to try to get better. It's changing workloads for different guys, giving other guys an opportunity. All those types of things are things that you do. And I'll tell you, you do it whether you win or lose. You do it all the time, but you especially do it when you don't win a game.
John, you have two new starters at guard, obviously. I mean, Voorhees kind of like a rookie after missing all of last year. Follow-up, under the position, we've asked you about that throughout the offseason. What are you seeing from those two as far as through these first two games? Are you seeing progress from them? What's your assessment on where they are right now?
Yeah, talking about the two guards, those two guys, Andrew and Daniel, I think, yeah, we're seeing progress. But big picture volume, it's not progress that's measurable in a sense of you look at the thing and say, okay, overall it's getting better. It's progress in areas and there's other areas that show up, and I think that's pretty normal for young players. So when you put a young group of guys out there, young players in any position, especially in the offensive line, there are going to be growing pains. There's no doubt about it. And I think we've got to continue to work as hard as we can to make as many good plays as we can. We've got a lot of good plays happening out there, but we're just too inconsistent. You know, and you talk about the offensive line, I think that's a fair evaluation, is inconsistent. It's almost randomly inconsistent, you know, so that's something we've got to work through. But also across the board with our whole team. You know, we're not a consistent football team right now. And if we become a consistent football team, and when we become a consistent football team, then we'll be a winning football team. Until then, it's going to be hard to do that. So we need to work to make that show up on Sunday. That's the goal, is to be a consistent executing team on Sunday.
Coach, what was the biggest difference with Derrick Henry in that first half and second half when he was in the yard line?
I don't know if I'm comparing halves. I just haven't thought about it that way. I think we ran the ball pretty well overall with Derek. We got some good runs. I can think about the runs we got, but I'm kind of in the weeds with that right now on certain plays, why we didn't get as many yards. Other plays, you get more yards. I'm sure your defense starts to get a little bit tired. You know, I'm sure we got a beat on some blocks and things like that. So I think over the course of a game, you expect your running game to kind of improve as the game goes on. That's what you hope for.
So far, during the offseason, you talked a lot about kind of going back to the drawing board with the offense, kind of revamping it and
continuing to rebuild it around Lamar. Through these first two games, have you seen some of the points of emphasis that you wanted to see through this offense so far?
Oh yeah, there's a lot in there, but it's kind of hidden right now. You know, it's in the bushes. You're going to have to dig in there and look for it right now because the results aren't what we want it to be. But the things that we're trying to build are being built. You know, we're working on the details, and there's a lot of plays getting made. There's choices being made. There's play decisions being made that I'm happy with, you know, and I think that we got to continue to build on it. We're in the right direction. You know, we've got the right plan. We've just got to learn to execute it better and more consistently, you know, and I think we'll do that as we go. We'll continue to get better, and that's every single guy doing the best they can. I'll say this, the most consistent player we have consistently executing, consistently playing is Lamar on offense. I mean, Lamar's playing very well. He's making good decisions. He's taking charge of the offense. He's making throws. He's moving around when he has to. He's running the ball. Sometimes when it's a run-pass option, he's throwing the ball when he should on a run-pass option. You know, I feel really good about the direction that way.
You said yesterday you wanted to kind of see the TV copy if you could, but on the pass interference call against Brandon Stevens, what did you see when you looked at it again? And in the big picture, what have you seen from the secondary overall these first few games?
Well, I think on the pass interference calls, I think there was two of them. Is that right? You had Marlon and you had Brandon, right?
I'm specifically one in the end zone. Right.
Yeah, I think when you look at those plays from a coaching perspective and not from a perspective of evaluating the officiating, because that's not our job, that's not what we do, you look and you say, well, what can we coach? On the second one, Brandon's one, there are things to coach technique-wise. You know, I think Brandon will be the first to tell you, because he played the other one down in the end zone the other way perfectly. I think there are things that he would say he could do better there that would put him in better position not to have that call happen. So that's something that we can avoid. The other one with Marlon, I wouldn't have any coaching point to tell Marlon he could do better. Didn't see anything there that he could improve on with his technique. I thought he played it really, really well on that first one.
Flowers spoke to you or the coaching staff about a point of frustration following yesterday's game. He reposted a fan's comment on Twitter saying that it's the second week in a row that Flowers has had a big first half and they stopped getting him the ball. Has that been a point of contention from Flowers?
Not that I'm aware of. Zay's been great. Great conversations with Zay. I'm not aware of any of the social media stuff.
John, going back to the secondary, what's been your just overall impression of, or maybe evaluation of how they've played so far to this point? I think
the secondary overall is on track, but we're not consistent. You know, we're not consistent. We need to do, and it's not just the secondary. We're talking about pass defense, you know. So pass defense is at all three levels. Of course, the linebackers are involved in that, and the pass rush is involved in that. So we can play coverages better. Sometimes it's a one-on-one thing where they make a good play. I can think of the tight end made the play on the diving catch coming inside for the first down conversion to the right of the offense over there. That was number 89. That's a great play. It's well covered. He makes a play. The fade ball on this left sideline to Adams, number 17, that's well played. That's an offense making a really good play. There's other plays where we're not, you know, we don't play it as well as we could. We're not in position. We don't see it quite the same way. We react a little late. There's a few completions that way that happened, especially kind of down the stretch in the two-minute stuff, I thought, a couple times. And then a couple other times he got out. You know, we certain situations, especially in the fourth quarter, that you can't let the quarterback out of the pocket, you know, because it just extends plays and makes it impossible. And they got the ball down inside the 5-yard line one time there, and it led to a touchdown. So that's on the front level. So everybody takes responsibility for pass defense. So across the board, the bottom line is at the end of the game, in this pass game, you know, we have a 10-point lead. It's on all of us as a team to maintain that lead. Our punt team needs to be better. That's for darn sure. Our offense needs to be better. And our defense needs to be responsible to get stops. You know, stops have to be made. Plays have to be made. If you make plays to get the stops, then you leave with a win. So when we learn to do that consistently, then we're going to win. We're going to win all those kind of games. I mean, giving up a fourth quarter lead is never okay. It's not acceptable. It should never happen. And you do it because you don't play consistent football to get the stops that you need to get. And our guys know that. They'll take accountability for it. Coaches will take accountability for it. I mean, when I say us, I mean all of us, players and coaches together. That's our job to get that done.
When you guys do lose the fourth quarter lead, fans will link that to other games in which that's happened and say, oh, they have an issue with that. But do you even look at it that way, or do you look at it more as a sort of result of a lot of smaller things that happen in the game kind of add up to that, I guess?
Yeah. Well, I mean, no two things are the same, so I don't know. There's no way to pinpoint it exactly if that's what you're looking for. I'm not really kind of sure exactly how to answer the question other than to say that you can't give up 10-point leads in the fourth quarter. I mean, whatever happens to play consistent football, to make the plays that need to be made. I mean, you know, a ball needs to get batted down, a sack needs to be made, a quarterback needs to get tackled, a player needs to get covered, you know, a scramble drill, he needs to get plastered. Somebody needs to catch a pick, you know, over the years. You look back, you know, don't drop a pick. That didn't happen this game, but you know what I'm saying. Plays need to get made to get yourself off the field. Offenses don't take themselves off the field. You've got to get them off the field by the way you play, you know, and I just feel like we just need to do a better job of that. I mean, that's something that we can be, we over the past 4 or 5 years, that's something that's been a difference. Now, the fact that you have so many leads in the fourth quarter probably lends itself to you're going to lose more leads than most teams, so I understand that part of it. But I also want to win those games. We all do. So we just need to do a better job with that.
John, is there anything that you can do to improve your efficiency with those challenge calls? I know when to yesterday was part of the reaction to where you kind of guys work, mm-hmm. just time management-wise. But big picture, you haven't really had a whole lot of luck over the past
Yeah, I mean, you have your choice. Like, basically, you decide if you don't want to, like, if you want to have a winning percentage in challenges, just don't challenge stuff. Just let it go, you know. And if you miss a challenge, you know, if you have one that you should have challenged that you don't challenge, it doesn't get counted against your record. But I don't think that way. You know, I'm not worried about the record, you know, that someone might be printing about what your challenge record is. I'm trying to think about the opportunity in the game to see if we can have a chance to use the challenge to our advantage to try to win the game. So the first one, like I said yesterday, that's probably a situation where I don't mind taking a chance there on that one because Zay did have his hand under the ball, and maybe there's a chance that they'll turn that over. And, you know, I thought probably it was less than 50-50 when I saw it because I saw it. I looked at it. I saw it. I knew what happened right away. And I thought, you know what, I don't mind a timeout right here. Let me see if we can get him to turn that one over because, you know, his hand was under the ball. And, you know, but I can see why they didn't overturn it. The second one was moving fast, and you know, I saw it from afar. I saw it quickly on the replay board. It was a quick shot in the booth. I thought to myself, it's really close. There's a good chance his toes are still on the ground, but there's a chance his toes are off the ground. And I didn't have time. We didn't have time to get another look at it. So I decided in the heat of the moment to go ahead and take a shot at it because I felt like if we win it, we gotta you know, that's going to really help us. And if we don't win it, I'm hoping that timeout's not going to come down and be the difference. But I don't have the luxury to know that we're going to need that timeout for sure. So if I'd have been more conservative on that, I wouldn't have thrown the flag. Because usually I throw the flag when I'm in a situation like that, I usually throw it when I'm sure. I decided on that one to take a shot, you know, and it ended up hurting us because we didn't have the timeout at the end of the game.
John, how pleased were you with the way that Adafe Owe played? 2.5 sacks. I mean, asked you a lot about him as far as taking the next step, but it seems like he was very active in terms of pressuring the pocket.
Yeah, I think Adafe is just really, you know, well, you know, we've been saying it all along, you know, that we have pass rushers, you know, and I feel like kind of proud of that, you know, that these guys are coming on. And we're 2 games into a long season, and we're starting to establish, you know, ourselves as having some guys that can really get to the quarterback, you know. So I'm really excited about that, fired up about those guys. I think those guys are going to continue to get better, Adafe, David, you know, Van Noy. You know, the old guy in there, he's rushing the passer well, and Tavius. And then you got your guys on the inside between Namdi and between Travis and others. They're doing a good job, too.
Just going back to the offensive line, it looked like Roger Rosengarten took a step up in his second game. What did you see from him and his progress?
I did. Roger took really good improvement from week 1 to week 2. You know, as a rookie, first game, now second game. I thought he stepped it up and played well, you know, so... That was his. Obviously, he's only played 2 games, but it was a major improvement from the week before. So, let's hope he keeps on that track.
We know you've been rotating him in there in the midst of games, he and Makari. Would it be a situation? We've seen Makari pretty much go back in each time. Would it be a situation if you felt like Rosengarten was hot or whatever at that time that he would just stick with him?
Well, I think it's possible, sure. I mean, you know, Pat's playing well too, you know, but Pat had, you know, he's going to have some plays he wants back. So, you know, the more plays you play, the more chance there are to have some inconsistencies. But, yeah, we're going to keep working both those guys in there. It's a good thing to have them both. I think that's a positive thing. And I want to get to the point where, you know, the whole offensive line is playing at a consistent level. That's what we got to fight for, that we're playing on a consistent level across the board with the offensive line.
Job rotations aren't ideal, but is that the only spot you would think about doing that type of rotation during the game?
I'm opposed to it. It just depends on who you have, you know, and who the options are.
Easy for us to nip it, but you guys' play action rate was lower than it usually is. Was that something that you expected going into the game, or is it something maybe looking back just how they were triggering so quickly on some of those runs you wanted to juke up?
No, I think play action passes are really important for us. I mean, that's a big part of what we need to do, as much play action as we can get. And there's different types of play actions. We threw more screens than we usually do. I think that probably took the place of some play action passes, probably in the count. You know, if you're counting, we also ran the ball more than we have in the past. So that probably might have taken some of the play action count out of there. And I think there's always going to be, you know, you might have more play actions, you might have fewer runs, you might have fewer screens, all that kind of stuff. So it goes hand in hand. But, you know, play action passes are something we do really well. And I'm a big proponent, man. I want to see, show them the run, throw it behind the linebackers.
John, you're in year 2 of your role game, but you guys talked about the offseason. You're emphasizing giving both Lamar and line some more responsibilities and changing calls at the line. Is there still kind of like the learning curve in those years too that you guys are adjusting to the new level of communication?
Well, you're always going to grow, you know, and the game is never going to stay the same. You know, we've definitely are trying to take this offense to another level with just being able to do stuff on the field with Lamar. Lamar, you know, I would say Lamar has the keys to the offense. You know, he's the driver of that car, you know, and he drives it on the field. You know, Todd's calling the plays. The staff is putting the plan together. But Lamar has a lot of tools at his disposal. So that's something that, you know, that's going to continue to grow and improve, and we're going to build on that as we go. I think Lamar's doing a very good job with it, and I'm excited about what we can do with it.
John, the outside perspective, at least, I'm talking about from not your meeting rooms or stuff, is that Ben Cleveland has held his own when he's played. Well, what does he have to do to become an option to play more snaps?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, if Ben had earned the job at right guard, he'd be the starting right guard. You know, so, I mean, you look at the tape, you know, he didn't beat out Daniel or anybody. I think Ben's a good player. I like Ben. I want Ben to take the next step. You know, he's in what year is he in, third year or fourth year? He's in his fourth year. You know, Ben knows what he needs to do. If he wants playing time, he knows how he needs to play, and he knows how he needs to practice when he gets that chance. So our evaluation right now is that Daniel outplayed Ben, just fact, straight up, matter of fact. If we thought Ben had outplayed Daniel, he'd be the starting right guard. So if I see that Ben's playing better than Daniel, then Ben will be the starting right guard, you know, and he practices every day. So it's like just to tell all the guys, I mean, show me. And that goes, we're talking about Ben because that's the question. I love Ben, and I think Ben can be a great player. I want to see it, just like I want to see it with Daniel. Okay, just I want to see with all the players. So we'll keep fighting for that, and those guys will keep fighting for that. We coach our guys, and our guys compete, and we're going to continue to improve.
From a big picture perspective, it seems like when you guys line up in 12 personnel, not a car, 12 personnel stuff, most teams are lining up with nickel personnel, five personnel. I guess, how have you kind of seen that play out of leveraging what you are getting up front in the run game, passing?
Yeah, we're trying to run the ball as much as we can out of that group, you know, that we call Tiger, you know, with Mark and with Isaiah on the field, you know, which is going to be seen as a passing group. It's going to be seen very similar to 11 personnel. Or if you want to call it Zebra, like the West Coast teams do, you could, and like we do, you could call it Zebra in here too. You know, there's a lot of ways, things you can call it. So that's going to be seen like more like 11. 12 is with those guys, and then when you put Pat out there, even 11 Pat might be seen either as a pass protection type of a deal or a run deal. So you try to balance all that out. But a lot of it's going to be situationally, too. So you can be in third and eight, and it doesn't matter what you put on the field. You're going to get nickel or dime. So you can put whatever you want on the field, and you're still going to get the passing stuff. You might get single high more than two high, maybe, because they might think you're going to try to run the ball. But that might be true more in third and three, third and four, third and five. So we understand all that. And you try to keep people honest. You know, you do the best you can. But you're not going to be 50-50. I mean, there are going to be tendencies. You know, that's part of the deal. There's a reason that Mark and Isaiah are out there. But you also want to take advantage of the fact if they loosen it up too much, then you run the ball. You know, and we try to do that, and we'll continue to try to build on that.
Yeah, we talked about this yesterday, obviously, but 11 penalties yesterday. You know, probably a couple of questionable ones. I think 7 the week before. How much of point of emphasis in the conversation in the meetings has that been over these first 2 weeks of play?
I would say it's a massive point of evidence, massive point of emphasis. Has been a massive point of emphasis and will always be. You know, it's just not okay. There's, you know, you can talk about some calls here, talk about a holding call, definitely talk about a call that was called as a face mask. You can talk about one of the pass interferences, you know, and those are game changing plays, no doubt about it. But you can't talk about false starts, you know. You can't talk about obvious holding, you know, things like that. Can't talk about not lining up correctly. Those are things that we have to take responsibility for. And we're not there yet by any stretch of the imagination in terms of playing, you know, playing consistent football across the board and not making mistakes that are costing us opportunities to move yards. So I would say that we cost ourselves more plays than our opponents do right now on both sides of the ball. And that's something that just we have to clean up.
John, you mentioned the punt team has to be better on that punt with stat of 24 yards. Just, was it a mechanical issue? Did you strike the ball clean? Did you see the tape on that? Or did you have even better conversation with them after what occurred?
Yeah, I mean, it's a technical issue. It's punting. You know, punting is it's kind of like golf, you know. I mean, you know, golf, fortunately, the ball doesn't move, but it seems so hard. The punter, the ball's moving. I still don't think it's as hard as golf. Well, who of us in here could punt the ball? Probably none of us, you know, but some of us think we can play golf. So I recognize it's hard. But, you know, these are the, you know, Jordan's one of the best punters in the world. And that punt's got to be made. He knows it, you know, not just that one. It wasn't a good game, you know. It wasn't the kind of game he's capable of. It's not the way he punted in practice. So you got to take your practice performance and you got to take it to the game and you got to help us, you know. So he's very conscientious. He wants to be the best. And you know, sometimes you got to take a deep breath and just go through your technique and do it the right way. And he's capable of that, and we're going to keep supporting him and keep coaching him. And I'm confident he's going to get the job done. But the job wasn't done in the last game that hurt our team.
John, I think we were a little surprised to see Nate show up on the injury report with concussion. Do you have an update on where he is protocol-wise?
I don't have an update, really. I'm hopeful he'll be back this week, though.
Did you get out of the game healthy otherwise, Joe?
I think so, but, like, you know, you never know. But I feel pretty good about it. All set?
Okay.
All right, thanks, everybody.